One of the things that all of us enjoy when we're young is a riddle. And even as we get older, and supposedly we're more mature, supposedly, riddles can still be fun. And often it's enjoyable just to ask some ridiculously stupid riddle, just to see the reaction of people to that riddle. For example, how many of you know how to top a tar? If you know how to top a tar, raise your hand. Nobody knows how to top a tar? You tap on the brake, Tilly. It's pretty bad, wasn't it? Okay, here's another one. What are two things you can't eat for breakfast? Lunch and dinner. Somebody knew that one over there, didn't you, Sherry? Okay, one more. Why can't the Tyrannosaurus Rex clap? Anybody know? Because he's extinct. I'm done with those. Do you remember the story of Samson from your Old Testament history? Samson used a riddle with the Philistines in Judges chapter 14. It was after Samson had killed a young lion and had eaten the honey of the swarm of bees that were in the carcass of the lion. Well, that said, I do have a riddle for you this morning. I want you in your memory to go back a few years when we had a really abnormally wet winter and early spring. We were getting rain, it seemed like, every day, over and over during that late winter and early spring this year, just a few years ago. All of the streams were full. The lakes and rivers were filling up, and we were blessed with an abundance of water. And we reached a point that people were complaining about the rain, and people would say, yeah, well, about August we'll be wishing we had some of this rain again. You remember all of that, right? So here's the riddle for you. What do you get in a land where all you have is sunshine every day and no rain? You get a desert. Here's a fact. In order to have lush, green vegetation, you must have rain. Storms must come. In order to have flourishing, luxuriant, green valleys, you must have rain. Folks, that's also true in our lives. When you turn to the Word of God, there are a lot of valleys there, and they're viewed as problems. You go to the Old Testament book of Joshua, and you go to Hosea, and both Joshua and Hosea talk about the valley of trouble. Psalm 84 talks about the valley of weeping. Most Bible students are very familiar with the valley of Jezreel, because it was in the valley of Jezreel that Israel conquered the host of King Jabin. It was also in the valley of Jezreel that Gideon overthrew the Midianites. It was also there that Saul was defeated by the Philistines, driven up the slopes of Mount Gilboa. It was also in the valley of Jezreel that good King Josiah died. Well, this morning I want us to talk about a valley. But I want us to talk about the valley that we read of in Psalm chapter 23 and verse 4. The psalmist writes, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." I want you to visualize that valley this morning. By an eye of faith, I want you to visualize the valley of the shadow of death. Shadows are dark. Shadows are always dark. The shadow of the whitest bird that flies across the sky is just as dark as the shadow of the raven. And I want you to picture this valley of the shadow of death. I want you to picture a deep, deep, deep valley. A valley with steep walls that rise up straight on either side. A narrow canyon where the sun only hits the floor of that valley at high noon. And then only for a brief period of time. And the rest of the time, because the valley is so deep and the walls are so steep and the walls are so high, and the valley is so narrow that it's always dark. I want to share something with you, some facts about dark valleys. Dark valleys in life are unavoidable. Dark valleys are going to happen in life. You can count on it. You may be coming out of one of those dark valleys right now. You may be in the middle of one of those dark valleys even as we speak. You may be heading into one of those dark valleys before this day is over. But write this down. No matter who you are, dark valleys are unavoidable. Job put it this way in Job chapter 5 and verse 7. Man that is born of woman is born into trouble, and the sparks fly upward. But not only are dark valleys unavoidable, dark valleys are unpredictable. You can't plan them, you can't time them, and you can't schedule them for your convenience. In fact, they literally are going to always come at the very worst time they could possibly come. They come when you don't have time for them, and they come when you're unprepared for them. I'd like to see a show of hands of all of those. The last time you had a flat tire or a dead battery, it was a good time for it. It never is. A flat tire or a dead battery usually comes when we have to be somewhere, or actually when we're running late to be somewhere. The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, lamenting over the miseries of Judah. And here's what he says in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 20. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. Dark valleys are unavoidable. Dark valleys are unpredictable. And here's a news flash for you. Dark valleys are impartial. No one is immune. No one escapes the problems of life. And here's a news flash. Everybody has problems. Good people have problems. Bad people have problems. Problems don't care how good you are, and problems don't care how bad you are. Problems also don't care how rich you are, and they don't care how poor you are. But what's our first reaction? What is our first reaction to problems? Why me? What did I do? You ever had something happen to you, something bad happen, and the first thing out of your mouth or in your mind, why me? What did I do? Maybe a better question would be, why not me? Do you think, do I think, do we think that we should be exempt from problems? What makes us so special? Problems happen. Problems happen to everyone. They happen to me, they happen to you. Here's what Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Well, right about now, in the midst of all this gloom and doom I've been sharing with you, could you use a little bit of good news? Dark valleys are temporary. Dark valleys have an end. And dark valleys do not last forever. They are not our permanent residence. Oftentimes when we're in a dark valley, we don't even realize it's a valley. We think it's a cave and there's no way out. But we're not in a cave. Dark valleys are like a tunnel. And at the end of that tunnel, at the other end of that tunnel, there's light. And in spite of the way we might feel sometimes, the light at the end of that tunnel is not an oncoming train. Troubles come in our lives. And in spite of what we might think, troubles do not come to stay. They come to pass. Here is what 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10 says. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you've suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Here's how Phillips translates that same passage. And after you've borne these sufferings a very little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to share His eternal splendor through Christ, will Himself make you whole. Even if we live to a ripe old age and have problems all of our life, that is insignificant compared to an eternity in heaven with Jesus, problem-free. Now, trust me, I've been there. I've had one. Having a root canal can seem like an eternity. But it's only a short time and produces a good result. This is going to be on your final exam. Problems are temporary. Heaven is eternal. Dark valleys come and dark valleys have a purpose. Believe it or not, God has a reason for taking us through dark valleys. Your valley may be full of doubt, despair, discouragement, or defeat. But whatever it is, God has a reason behind it. Valleys are not unnatural. Valleys are a very natural part of the landscape. And they come to us. There are financial valleys. There are relationship valleys. There are emotional valleys. All kinds of valleys in our lives. But here's the good news. You'll get through them. Faith is built and faith grows in the valleys of life. Let's think about faith, our faith, my faith, your faith. How much do we really know about faith until that faith is tested? How do you know about your endurance if you never face tough times? How do you know you can trust God in difficult days if you never go through those difficult days? In spite and regardless of what the guys and the girls with the pretty hair and the pretty teeth and the sweet smiles and the syrupy voices on television preaching the gospel of prosperity tell us, God's purpose in life is not to make us comfortable. God's goal, God's purpose is to build our character, build our strength, and prepare us for eternity with Him. We can get through those dark valleys, and here's how we do it. We have to refuse to be discouraged. Let's continue in that fourth verse of Psalm 23 that we were reading a moment ago. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There are two important facts to observe in this verse. God does not panic when we go through a problem, and neither do His sheep. The picture we get from that verse is the sheep aren't frightened in the valley. The passage says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't say I run. It doesn't say I quiver. It doesn't say I shake in my boots. I walk. I have sure footing. I take my time. I don't need to panic. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Those words indicate a choice, don't they? I will not fear. I walk calmly through the valley and I am not afraid. Because whatever the problem is I'm facing in the valley, with the help of God, I will overcome it. I'll get out of this hole in times of trial. When we're in those valleys, oftentimes the biggest and greatest adjustment we need is an attitude adjustment. That is, we need to refuse to be discouraged. You can't go around the valley, and you can't go under the valley, and you can't even go over the valley. The only option is that you go through the valley. But go through the valley. Refuse to shake in your boots. Refuse to be afraid, because there's a reason to not be afraid. Look at the rest of that verse. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The reason we're not afraid, the reason we walk calmly through the valley, and the reason we have no fear is because God is with us. And one of the greatest needs you and I have in this world is to learn to rely on the presence of God. God will not leave us alone. It's in the dark valleys of life that religion becomes a relationship. A relationship with God and a relationship with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. God says, I'll take you by the hand. God says, I will lead you through this valley. Remember the promise of Jesus in Matthew 28? He said, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. We rely on the protection of God. David reminds us, he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God has a rod and a staff to protect us. And those are the basic tools of the shepherd. The rod is basically something about 2 feet long. And it has a knob at one end. And shepherds train with that rod. They practice with that rod. Shepherds in old Palestine, they trained with that rod. And they were trained to throw that rod like a missile at anything that was endangering the sheep. And that knob on the end would do some damage. The shepherd's rod was used to protect the flock. It wasn't just a stick. The staff is a long stick with a crook at the end of it. And that was used to draw the sheep closer to the shepherd or pull them out of a ditch if they got into the ditch. The truth of the matter is this. The shepherd is there to protect the sheep. And in like manner, God has promised us His protection. I want you to think about that shadow for a moment. Shadows are always bigger than reality. Fear of the problem that you face is always greater than the problem itself. Shadows cannot hurt you. Have you ever been run over by a shadow? You see, there's a big difference between a truck and the shadow of a truck. A shadow can scare you, but it can't hurt you. Shadows only appear when there is a light source. And yes, we might be, you might be, I might be, we might be in a dark valley right now. But there's light at the end of that tunnel. This book tells us that God is light. And this book tells us that in Him there is no darkness. Here's what that entire psalm reads like. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the dark valleys of life, God is there. God is there to protect His children. Just as a shepherd is there to protect the sheep. But we must be living God's kind of life. We must be living our lives within the will of God. Jesus Christ must be the Lord and the Master of our lives. Can you say that this morning? Can you say that you're living your life within the will of God? Are you a Christian? If not, I'd beg you to become one. Then simple trusting faith, repenting of everything that's sin in your life, confessing the name of Christ, and being buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of past sins. And that'll make you a Christian. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else, just a simple New Testament Christian. And start living your life within the will of God. If you haven't done that, I beg you to do it, to become one of God's sheep today. But maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you have done all of that, but you haven't lived your life and aren't living your life within the will of God, and have failed to live God's kind of life. I need to come back home and let brothers and sisters pray with you and for you. Maybe there's some other need you have. Can we help you to begin to live your life within the will of God? This is your opportunity to let us do that as together we stand and while we sing.